Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore, or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
Hello, Church of the Resurrection. I am so excited to be joining you for worship today from Jerusalem. Actually, I'm standing on the Mount of Olives right now, and we're continuing in our series of sermons on the final week of Jesus' life. And I'm going to be walking you through the places that he was on Holy Tuesday. And we're going to look at the things that he taught while he was in the temple courts and as he was leaving the temple. And my hope is that you have a chance to hear in fresh ways the things that Jesus said and he did in Matthew chapters 23, 24, and 25. Now, I want to invite you to please take out of your bulletin your GPS and take a moment to write down the things you'd like to remember and reflect upon. You're going to learn some things today that maybe you didn't know before, and hopefully you're going to hear God speaking to you a message just for you from the gospel. So I want to encourage you to write those things down. And if you're watching online, I want to encourage you to have a pen and paper out and to take the time to write those things down. I also want to just apologize up front. The sermon may be a bit choppy because we're going to take you to several different places, and I'm not even sure how it all fits together yet, but these are all places I want you to see, and I want you to hear the scriptures in the places that Jesus was teaching them or offering these words or really in the places that Jesus was referring to. So there's some really great things I want to show you, so I invite you just to hang with me. What I'd like to do right now is to give you a brief orientation from where I'm standing on the Mount of Olives. So behind me you see the Dome of the Rock, the third holiest shrine in Islam, but that's the location where the Temple of Herod had stood, God's temple had stood in the time of Jesus. And you can see all around it, the great wall around it represents the platform that Herod had constructed that included the court of the Gentiles, and we're going to be stepping over there in just a moment. Then I'd like to show you on the southern side of the Temple Mount, you'll see the steps, what are called the teaching steps, but these were the primary entrances, or one of the primary entrances, into the temple courts. And then finally, you can see here before the Temple Mount, you have a chance to see the Kidron Valley, also called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of God's Judgment. And both Jews and Muslims believe the final judgment will happen here. And all of the Jews that are buried on this place, they're buried where their heads are back towards the Mount of Olives, and at the resurrection, it's believed that they'll stand, and when they stand, they'll be facing where the Messiah is. They'll be facing the city of Jerusalem. Hence, they're buried in this way. Muslims buried on the other side of the Kidron Valley or the Valley of Jehoshaphat, also believing in a final judgment taking place here. So now we're standing in the temple courts where Jesus would have been overturning the money changers' tables, and this would have been the place where he came to teach every day. And behind me is the Dome of the Rock, which would have been where the temple stood. And so we're actually standing, probably in, well, we're standing in the court of the Gentiles, but as we walk over this direction, we're actually standing in the court of the women, and then inside that, the court of the Israelites, and then finally inside that is the court of the priest and the Holy of Holies. Jews won't even walk across this area, and the reason why they won't is they don't know exactly where the Holy of Holies was, and they would consider it a great travesty to walk across any place that was where the Holy of Holies was, where only the priests were allowed to go. And so when you walk across this mount, you know, and you walk around the backside, you're really, literally, you're standing on holy ground. And you'll remember he wept when he saw the temple as he came down the Mount of Olives. He wept over this place because he knew it would be destroyed. And he prophesied three different times the last week of his life. He spoke about how this place would be destroyed, including the scriptures that we're studying today. Today on Holy Tuesday, we're remembering Jesus teaching in the temple, and he's teaching about the last judgment. He's teaching about the day when this temple would be destroyed, and he's teaching about his return. He begins probably not standing here, probably standing in the temple courts where the priests and the religious leaders are all around, and he begins to denounce them. He begins to denounce them for their hypocrisy, for the way in which they were more concerned about what others thought about them than they were what God thought about them, for the ways in which they were interested in the praise of people more than the praise of God. And so Jesus denounces them. He announces the seven woes. And he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. And on the outside, you look beautiful. But on the inside, you're full of dead things and decay." And as he talked about that, you know, there were tombs all around this place. And so it was easy for people to picture this and to understand the decay that he was talking about on the inside, and yet something that looked magnificent on the outside. He was describing their faith. But when Matthew tells that story, when he writes that in his gospel, 40 years after the time of Christ, he's not really speaking about the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the chief priests. He's really speaking to the Christian community. So the question we're meant to ask when we hear Jesus giving the seven woes is, in what ways are we like the Pharisees? How do we struggle with our desire for affirmation from people, our love for the praise of other folks? What are we willing to do in order to have that? And I see that as a struggle in my own life, and I'm guessing that you find it as a struggle in your life. We all want to be liked. We all want people to praise us or to say positive things about us, but what price are we willing to pay to have that happen? That's part of the question here, and do we lose ourselves and our integrity in the desire to have people praise us? And how is our inside matching up with our outside? I mean, are we like those whitewashed tombs where outside we look great to people, but inside we're full of decay? And how many pastors have I known and others that you've known that looked like they were on the right path, and yet inside there was stuff going on that put them in the same category as the Pharisees? And the reality is, I struggle with being a Pharisee. And I'm guessing you do too. And so part of our question when we come to Holy Tuesday and we're listening to Jesus denounce the Pharisees is in what way are we like them? That's why Matthew included these teachings in his gospel 40 years later, was because it was clear Christians were still struggling with these things, just like the Pharisees. So that's the first point that we'd think about today is on Holy Tuesdays we stand in this place. We're standing here on a main street, on one of the main streets that ran adjacent to the temple. It was a main shopping corridor. You can see where the shopkeeper's shops were in the time of Jesus. And on this main street that ran along the western wall of the temple, we have a chance to see exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, we read, "Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples called to him to call his attention to its buildings. And they looked at how beautiful the buildings were and how magnificent and majestic it was. And Jesus said this, 'Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on top of another. Every one will be thrown down.'" And of course, we've learned already that Jesus foretold three times the destruction of Jerusalem. It's why he wept when he came to the city of Jerusalem, looking over it from the Temple Mount or from the Mount of Olives on Palm Sunday. And he knew that and foretold the fact that the people one day would take up their swords against the Romans, and that would not end good. As we learned, 1 million Jews would be killed in AD 70, August of AD 70, when the Romans invaded, finally penetrated the city walls, and then destroyed the temple and everything else around it. And I wanted to take you to this main street so you'd have a chance to see the stones that are still there, not one standing atop of another. Take a look here. This main street was destroyed when these columns and these pillars, these stones, were thrown down by the Romans with their massive weaponry. They were able to launch the upper walls of the Temple Mount, and they still stand here, not one stone atop another. And the temple, utterly destroyed. Now, Jesus is foretelling these things years earlier, 40 years before it happens. But Matthew writes his gospel down about 5 years after the temple was destroyed. And so as Matthew's writing these things down, this, what had happened here, was the most cataclysmic thing Jews and Christians could imagine. It shaped so much of how Matthew understands what Jesus was teaching and saying. And as we look at this, we remember the devastation of that day, and we reflect upon the words of Jesus. He was foretelling a judgment in Matthew chapter 24 and in chapter 25. And part of that was the judgment that would come at the hands of the Romans in AD 70. But part of it was a final judgment day. And those two are sort of intermingled in Matthew's gospel, probably because Matthew wasn't sure where one started and the other stopped. Matthew probably believed that Jesus was coming back at any moment. So did the earliest Christians. After this fulfillment of the prophecies of Jesus, they thought the day was very near. But when we read Matthew chapter 24, we recognize there are certain parts of it have already happened, and certain parts seem to point towards a future day, a future judgment day, when Jesus will return and he'll judge the living and the dead. And so part of the task for us as Christians is to read those verses and to ask this question: are we ready for the day he returns? It may not be in our lifetime, but all of us know that we will meet him face to face. He'll come back for us, sometime. And the question is, are we ready? If you were to leave the church today and something tragic were to happen, are you ready to meet him face to face? And what I'd like to do now is to take you through Matthew chapter 25, where we find Jesus telling the parables of judgments. As he speaks about that judgment, he's standing here, perhaps on these temple steps, speaking about that day of judgment. And he's looking out over the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That is the Kidron Valley. It's also the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means that God will judge. And so he looks over that valley and he speaks about the judgment day and what that's going to look like one day. And as he speaks about the judgment day, overlooking the Valley of Judgment, with the cemeteries really all around, he has important words to say to us. And he offers several parables of judgment. He says that the day will come where he will return, the Son of Man will return. And in the parable of the bridesmaids or the virgins, he's challenging us to be ready, that we're to be ready at any moment for the day that he would return. And in the parable of the talents, he says that one day he'll return and he's going to ask for a reckoning for what we did with what we had, all of the time we had and the resources we had and the influence we had. What did we do with that in service to his kingdom? And so the reckoning day will come where he'll recognize us and reward us according to what we did or maybe what we didn't do. But finally, the parable that is most powerful to me among those parables of judgment is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And we've talked about this parable many times. But in the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus speaks about the day that he'll return, and he talks about the criteria that he'll exercise or that he'll use on that judgment day. And you remember the parable well. He says that when the Son of Man returns, he will judge the nations and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the sheep he'll put on his left and the goats he'll put on his right. And then the criteria for the judgment, he says, is he sends the goats away to everlasting punishment. And they say, "Why, Lord? Why did you send us away?" And he said, "Because I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't help me. And inasmuch as you failed to do it to one of the least of these, you failed to do it to me." And likewise, he turns to the sheep and he says, "But you, enter into your rest." And they're surprised that they're blessed by God because they didn't realize that all along these things that they were doing almost second nature in helping the poor and working for justice were the very things that God was looking for. And he says, "I was hungry, but you stopped to help. And I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. And I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me." And those enter into everlasting life, and the other into everlasting damnation. I'm standing here in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of God's Judgment. I'm surrounded by tombs. The names are long lost from them. And behind me, the tombs of high priest family on the far left, and in the center with the pyramid on top, Zechariah the prophet. And on the right, the tomb of James the Lesser, and all of these people waiting for the judgment day, waiting for the day when the Messiah will return. And I want to ask you these questions as we close the sermon. The first is, do you recognize the Pharisee in yourself? Do you see the moments where you crave the affirmation of other people at the expense of your faith and your integrity? Do you see that sometimes we can be like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but inside full of dead things? Do you see that temptation and that tendency in yourself? And are you seeking to live your life faithfully following Jesus? Second question I would ask you is, are you ready for the judgment day? Do you know that one day God will say enough? And when he says enough, the Son of Man will return and judgment will come. And if that doesn't happen in your lifetime, certainly all of us one day will be called home to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And are you ready for that? That's what Jesus was asking on that day. And finally, on that Tuesday of Holy Week, he was asking this question, do you know what it means to be ready? And to be ready means, of course, to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but it's beyond that. It also means to faithfully follow him every day. It means to seek justice and to do kindness and to walk humbly with God. It means when you see somebody who's hungry or naked or thirsty or sick or in prison, to stop and to help them. Are you actively engaged in doing the work of God in this world? Because that's part of what it means to be ready, to be found faithful on that day so that you're set aside with the sheep and not the goats, so that you're prepared on that day. And he says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's my hope and prayer for each of us at Church of the Resurrection, as I stand in the Valley of Judgment, that we're ready for the judgment day. And I'd like to pray for you to that end. Would you bow with me in prayer? God, I thank you so much for the people of Church of the Resurrection and all of those who are watching this sermon online or in some other way. I pray that you would bless them. And I pray that you would help us to be ready for that day. Help us to trust you in the midst of life's difficulties and adversity. We pray that you would help us to have integrity and to walk with you humbly and to seek to serve you faithfully, no matter what the cost. We pray that you would help us, O Lord, to put our trust in you, to know that you are our Savior and our Redeemer. Save us from our sins and from ourselves. And finally, O Lord, help us to walk faithfully with you, to do justice and to love kindness, to care for those who are in need, to be actively engaged in making this world look more like your kingdom. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.